This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, it's great to have you with us. Jerry Dulac, final half hour today? Sound right?
Yep.
Good. And kind of in that... lull, but the Masters is next. Nothing like looking at the dogwoods and azaleas.
I was going to say the par 3 is going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And you don't want to win the par 3.
No.
Because I think most people who are astute sports fans know that at the Masters, if you win the par 3, you are doomed. Nobody's ever won both. So you really want to kind of throw it at the end.
Goodness. Hit at least one in the water at some point.
Whoops. Oh, but these guys do all sorts of trick shots.
Yeah.
All right, I've seen them skip them off the water deliberately just to have fun with the fans, which is a cool thing to see. I mean, because it's all about, especially this. It's, they have their kids out there with them, and they're having a good time. And that's great. That's great. Now, what I'm going to talk to Jerry about, at least initially, is I feel like this is a Masters. The Masters is always so important to the world of golf. So important. But I feel like the split between LIV and the PGA Tour, who are still negotiating a merger, that I feel like you need the, in my opinion, you need the Masters more than ever. And I know Scott Van Pelt delivered a commentary. He said that the politic in between the two leagues is gone and golf fans no longer care about the split. And he says, I feel like it's a non-topic. He said, it's amazing how that's changed in the sense it's very clear line in the sand. It was us against them, and now it just feels like the entire us against them fight is no more. Now, he's correct about that. It doesn't feel like it's us against them anymore. But here's the issue that you have. Unless it's a major, you have divided fields. Right? I mean, and if you're the PGA Tour and you're on every week, whether it's NBC or CBS, you're on every week. And like the two guys that are on top of the Valero San Antonio, Texas Open, down in San Antonio at TPC. Did you have any of the two guys in the playoff? Have you ever heard of them before?
I heard of the Indian guy just because I remember him playing last year and he was so thin. But other than that, I wouldn't have heard of him.
Right. And I think that like the rift between the players is essentially gone. Like even Fred Couples, who was so anti-LIV a year ago, he's still not crazy about it, but he's really tempered and toned it down tremendously. Rory McIlroy has toned it down tremendously. John Rahm's the defending champion of the Masters. Well, he's, I think the Masters dinner, I think it was last night. There's a LIV player up there. And he was not a LIV player when he won it. But there's a LIV player up there as the defending champion. And I think that in the room, there's no real issue anymore in the room. I mean, even Fred Couples said, he says, Mickelson makes him mad about this. He says, but really, I like the guy. It's like, okay, and I just feel like seeing all the best players out there, seeing Brooks Koepka out there, Phil Mickelson out there, Dustin Johnson out there, John Rahm out there, Bryson DeChambeau out there. I mean, those are the best players. Those are the, I mean, the, you know, some of the biggest names in golf. Reunited with, for example, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. Okay. But that's, I mean, I feel like we need people want to see them together more often and not split like this.
The story we ran in the paper today from, I think it was Doug Ferguson, the AP writer, he was talking to John Rahm. John Rahm suggested maybe a Super Bowl type thing where they stay separate and then at the end of the year they come together and play a championship. But I don't think that's sustainable for either one, just because I guess the 54 hole events don't get world golf points, and that's going to cause a problem for some of these guys getting into the majors a little. You know, maybe not this year, but starting next year. Which I think you're right. I don't think they can sustain this split for very long.
No, but it's the sustainability with the fans.
Yeah.
As I said, I was just in Jacksonville the other day. Right. Well, that's where TPC Sawgrass is. And I know, I think it was a big boost from the Scottie Scheffler, by the way, won the tournament. That was big because it put a primary name at the top of the leaderboard. But when you looked at the field, you just looked at the field and thought it was like, they always brag it's the deepest field in golf. Even, you know, because the Masters has 89. U.S. Open has a lot of people that qualify, for example, that went through the qualifying rounds. Same thing with the British Open Championship. PGA has teaching professionals in it and so forth. But the players is the top 156. And this year when you looked at the field at TPC Sawgrass, it was like, okay, certainly there were notable people like Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, people like that, but there was also a bunch of guys where you sat back and go, who is that?
I mean, look at the winners from the early part of the season in some of those names. It's, you know, it's the only name that kind of stuck out was the kid from Alabama that was, you know, was an amateur and won. Otherwise, it's a bunch of guys nobody ever heard of.
Right. And again, that's not to diminish them as players. Oh. As there are 8 billion people in the world, right? And 156 have their tour card, really? You know, same thing with, you know, how many are in the LIV tour. Right? I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. These are the best of the best. So those guys winning may not be famous to us, but they earned their spot to be in there. And the... But that doesn't mean that we've heard of them. And in order to draw ratings, you have to be able to know who it is. Like, hey, I'm going to tell you, whoa, Spieth's in the lead. I may watch the fourth round. You know what I mean? And that's what you run into with this. I mean, that's why for years tennis was helped by the fact that it was Nadal, it was Federer, it was Djokovic. Like, okay, I mean, maybe a little Andy Murray here and there, right? It was Serena. Then you get into that little run where you're like, okay, and the final is who? Now, Coco Gauff was obviously a worthy U.S. Open champion, no question about that. But you do run into that when you have a starless... You know, there's stars for a reason. I was talking earlier about the Heat taking on the Nuggets. Well, everybody got to see how great Jokic happens to be. You know, Jimmy Butler on the other side's been there, but nobody else is... in that final was intriguing. Vegas played the Florida Panthers. Like, hardly anybody knew who was on the Florida Panthers. I mean, if you're a real hockey fan, yeah. I mean, so I know who some of the Panthers are, right? But you're like, okay, like Super Bowl, everybody knows. I mean, everybody knows, like, hey, it's a big deal whether Jarrett McKinnon's going to be playing in the game. Well, fans actually know who he is. Right? Took a little while for people to understand who the heck the Arizona Diamondbacks happen to be. Right? Right? But if the Phillies made it, oh, everybody knows who Bryce Harper is, right?
Unfortunately, he's on the West Coast, but I think a lot of people should know who Corbin Carroll is, but your point is exactly right.
But Corbin Carroll, people don't get a chance to see him. He's a rookie. He stole 54 bases during the year. He hit over 300. I mean, just a terrific player. But the fans were in the World Series were getting introduced to who he was. Mm-hmm. Right? Bryce Harper doesn't need an introduction. Like, oh, yeah, hold on. Everybody stop. Bryce Harper's at the plate. Harper's one of the – there aren't many guys in the majors where you stopped it when they're at the plate. That's a big thing. Harper's at the plate, everybody stops. Everybody in the ballpark stops what they're doing. They turn around at the concession stands. They want to see him hit. All right? Shohei Ohtani. People turn around. They want to see him hit. Mike Trout. Aaron Judge. And then there, and that doesn't mean, like, for example, Corbin Carroll, as you mentioned, a terrific player. But at this stage, the casual fan, see, the casual fan will stop to see Judge hit, Harper hit, Ohtani hit, Trout hit. You know what I mean? They'll stop to do that. But will they stop and turn around to watch Corbin Carroll hit, even though he's a really good player?
Not yet.
No, because they don't know who he is. They don't know who he is. Yeah, I think Rodriguez at Seattle. I think people will stop. You know, I think he's done enough for people to know who he is. There's nobody on the Miami Marlins that even Miami fans want to see right now. Have they won a game?
Unless they won last night, I don't think so.
Well, I don't think that's selling any tickets.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, it's... I feel like it's karma for firing the GM that got you to the playoffs, but...
Yeah, I don't quite know what the deal was there. Let's see. MLB standings. Here we are. And, ladies and gentlemen, your Miami Marlins are 1-11.
Oh, they did get one.
But they're only 7 games back. In fact, the Braves are the only team in the National League East over 500.
Yeah.
Second best record in the National League belongs to?
The Pirates.
Yeah, how about that?
It'd be a heck of a lot better if they could figure out David Bednar.
But again, it goes back, remember?
Yeah.
Spring training, we're talking about David Bednar, and guess what? We were told that he was going to be held back because his arm wasn't quite right. Oh. Well, yesterday they booed him in Pittsburgh because they had a 3-1 lead against Detroit in the 9th inning and lost the game.
He's blown 3 of 4 now, I think.
Yeah. Not what they need. And take my word, there's one team right there that is not making a deal to improve the club. They don't do that.
No, but they've got their farm system deep enough now that they might be able to actually find somebody to do it in their own organization, at least.
Are you sure about that? I mean, their farm system's deep, but finding a closer, if you have a closer in your farm system now, he is pitching for you.
No, that's true.
Now. You're not waiting for him to come up. I don't know.
And, you know, I realize they started like this last year, but I just feel like it's a little different for them, and if they're not healthy in the back end of the bullpen, that's going to cause them some major issues down the line, obviously.
Well, I'm considering going down next weekend, you know, to see a game, because they're playing the Red Sox, so I wanted to see the Red Sox play. I haven't gotten to a Major League Baseball game in 5 years, and I'm busy. I mean, that's the big part of it. A lot of work stuff. In the summertime, I got the spikes, you know, things like that. And I'm considering doing it. Now, I don't know if I mean, can I even get tickets to see it? I don't know. I mean, normally early in the season, you can get tickets to see the Pirates, right?
But it is the Red Sox.
Yeah, I know. That is an issue. And I do know that's an issue. Let's see. Let's go see. MLB.com. Buy Pirates tickets today. Okay. No, it comes up right away. You should be actually buying Phillies tickets. No. So what do you want to do this for? It says here, what do you want to do this for?
Actually, I think the Pirates are at the Phillies this weekend.
Are they really?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see what this thing does here. So it says starting at $26. This is for Saturday.
Yeah.
$405. Let's see. Oh, they go up to $349. Really?
Well, that's so you can sit behind the home plate and wave to everybody, Steve.
Au contraire, mon frère. So I can get tickets in section 112 for $54. The best two seats based on your filter criteria. Really? Huh. Let's try it here.
Go to break so we can buy you can buy your tickets.
No. I'm just it gives you the little deal here in the ballpark. Like as to where you can go. All right, okay. Boy, they're actually more that's the club, that's why. All right. Pittsburgh Baseball Club. Oh. No, I don't think so. Let's go over here. Oh, wow. Now in this section I can get all you can eat hot dogs, nachos, peanuts, and fountain drink. Wow. Not bad. I like that. Wow, these are good seats. What the heck? What the heck's the problem over here? It's down the left field line. How about that? So there are tickets available. I've got to talk to some people. I got to talk to my people. Okay? I need to talk to my people. That way I can sit back and my people can talk to their people. Because I haven't been to one in 5 years. I mean, could I call and get a pass? I could. I'm not going to do that.
Hey, your seat's probably better if you buy the seat in the stadium anyway.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Let's see here. On the Sunday game, they're available. Outfield reserve. Where's 146? I'm not sitting there. Wait a minute. No way. I'm used to being at the 50-yard line. Come on. What's going on here? Outfield reserve, upper level. Upper level?
The Euchre seats.
Oh, goodness. You're not sitting up there. Give me a break. Yeah, I got seats all in the upper level. That's for sure. Outfield reserve. Forget that. Outfield reserve. You could catch a homer. Goody. Oh, these aren't bad. Let's see. Where's 130? 130 is not bad. It's angled toward the field. 129 angled toward the field. Those are pretty good tickets. All right. Ooh, I can get $5 loaded value to include $5 to be used at concessions or merchandise stands. Or I can go with the $10 loaded value to be used at concessions or merchandise stands. Well, that is just no. All right, so I'll just take my chances. But yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'm good at thinking about it. I just haven't gone to a game in 5 years. I like go to a Major League Baseball game. Yeah.
Do it. Go have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I take my grandson to it, you know, do that. He's never been to one.
Ooh, then that's a definite yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend. Jerry Dulac coming up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Power brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Also, six great flavors of slushies, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Waiting on Jerry Dulac.
Steve, I do have him right now.
Yeah, you do. Well done, sir. Jerry, my good friend, how are you?
Steve, I'm fine. I'm sorry for the brief delay. I had the very important chore of taking the dog out.
And guess what? As somebody who has that same job, ironically, I know where of which you speak.
Yeah, the urgency and the importance.
Oh, and score big on each one because they're both true. All right.
That's right.
So we'll start with the Masters. And we know that the merger would live. They're still negotiating and so forth. But from a fan point of view, let's talk about that for a moment. The Masters is always so important, and it sets the tone for the whole year. But is this baby as important to Masters as ever because the gang is all back together?
Well, you know, I'll say this. There's no question the majors play an important role in whatever is going to happen going forward. And there's no question the Masters would be at the forefront just because of its significance, its importance, where it falls in the schedule. It's the first one. It's the one with the most tradition. It's the one that's arguably the most cherished. So I don't think there's any doubt that the television ratings are reflecting what's going on in the world of golf. And you know, Fred Ridley was asked today about the numbers, the small television numbers, and is the Masters now going to put that to the test? Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that, you know, all the best players in the world, the top players in the world, are here. And his response was, well, he thinks that's indicative of other sports. You know, it's hard to measure anymore because of all the streaming avenues available to people, whether they're watching on their tablets, on their phones, social media, whatever the case may be. And I'm not going to say that's not true, But I don't think there's any question the fan apathy in golf is directly related to the split in the two tours. And by that I mean, look, you know, whether it was the Greater Hartford Open or whichever, which had a maybe, and I'm not picking on them, but maybe they just had a so-so field. That was always going to happen. You were never going to have 27 events on the PGA Tour that had a loaded field.
Right.
But now, outside the elevated events and the Masters, you're not only getting, you're getting most of the top players, but you're not getting all of them, because each year now, you've seen a lot of those top players in the world, marquee names, bleed over to the LIV Tour. So, and you know, you look at the leaderboards, and with all due respect to the Austin Ekroats and Nick Dunlap becoming the first amateur since Mickelson in 91 to win a PGA Tour event, and whether it's Akshay, Bhatia, or whoever it may be, those guys don't move the needle. People want to see the stars. Nice stories are nice, but the stars make the great stories. And I think the Players' Championship, whose numbers were down, helped rescue the tour because they had a star win and they had a star-studded leaderboard on Sunday.
Yep.
You know, obviously that's what we're going to see. I'm sure the Masters will do that again, because it's just those are the types of champions, for the most part, that they produce. They don't produce U.S. Open type champions. They produce usually the star players, and so
yeah.
I find it a bit ironic, Steve, and a bit comical, and I'm not picking on them, the players like John Rahm and you know, and Phil Mickelson, and the guys saying, look, unification needs to happen, and it needs to happen fast. I agree with them 100%, and so does Rory McIlroy. But I find it funny that the guys who helped create this division by joining the LIV Tour are the ones saying, well, we need some unification now, and we need it right away.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. You know, Mickelson, it's a good time. Rahm, it's a good time to do it. DeChambeau, it's a good time. Like, hey, yo, then come back. But I was just literally in Jacksonville, and so Sawgrass. And I thought the same thing you did, that they were fortunate Scottie Scheffler won, because they always brag it's the deepest field in golf.
Which not is anymore. True, not anymore.
But it wasn't this year. It wasn't this year.
Yeah, I mean, what is Ryan Moore doing playing in the Players' Championship, with all due respect to Ryan Moore? You know, when you saw players like that, it's just not the best field in golf anymore, because 25 of those guys are playing on the LIV Tour, if not more.
When you get to this golf course, we've talked about it many times, that unless you've ever been there, you can't appreciate the grind of the walk. Not just hitting the ball, but the grind of the walk up and down. And I mean, I don't mean it's subtle up and down. But what does it tell us about the conditioning, especially of the winner? And of course, this comes into play with Tiger Woods, who has to walk it.
Well, you know, Steve, people in Western Pennsylvania think they have to play with a lot of hills, up one hill and down another. They have not seen slopes and degrees of elevation change until they get to Augusta and see what it is to go down 10 and to walk up 18 and even to go down 2 and roll across 5 and the par 3, 6 down the hill, 8 going up the hill. I don't think they can't comprehend what those slopes and elevation changes are like until they actually see it. And to your point, there is no question, if there's a harder walk on the PGA Tour, I don't know what it is, because first of all, no other PGA Tour course is going to play more than 7,600 yards. And I don't know of another PGA Tour course that has the hills and valleys that you have to traverse you know, at Augusta. And you start at the clubhouse on 1 and you sink all the way down to the bottom at number 12. And, you know, and you go downhill 10 and you go downhill 11, across 12, across 13, up 14, down 15, up 16, across 16, up 17, and then really up 18. By the time you reach 18, Steve, you have to be exhausted. And then you have to make that climb up that hill. Look, these guys are in great shape. That's not an issue anymore. But relative to every other event they're going to play, it is no question the toughest walk they're going to face. And, of course, that's what Tiger Woods is going to have to deal with. And not only just that, but tomorrow's weather forecast, wind gusts of 25 mm-hmm. to 30 miles an hour and rain. It is not what Tiger Woods wants to play in with all his physical ailments.
They lengthened 13 a year ago. They're adding 10 to 2 this year, which is another par 5. They're going to move the tee over, too, although Rory McIlroy said the visual is not that bad. He thought it was going to be, and it's not. They've made some changes to some 2 years ago to 11, 15, and 18. Are the changes noticeable to you in terms of what we're seeing in play or not?
Steve, last year, to your point, they changed 13. They added 10 or 15 yards to the tee, and they made it more difficult to ride it around the corner. But what they found is that it actually had more guys going for the green at 13 because now it made it more difficult to reach the pine straw and the trees straight ahead. And when I say made it more difficult, a lot of times, teams are players are staying away from a Race Creek on the left, and so they blow it through the fairway and they're up in a pine straw. And then, unless you're Phil Mickelson, they're forced to really lay it up.
Right.
Well, now it's made it more difficult for those guys. When I say difficult, maybe easier to not reach the pine straw, and they find themselves more in the middle of the fairway, and now they have that 250-yard shot into the green, and those guys are taking it. And so while they lengthened it, they actually made it, I don't want to say more playable, probably, but I think they've made it more exciting because now more guys, according to their data from last year, were going for the green in two. So by lengthening it, they actually, they weren't really changing the concept of the game or the way we see the game play today with such distances. That they can stretch it up to over 7,600 yards. They're probably going to play it at 75 and a half, but they can, and I won't tomorrow, but they can stretch it to over 7,600 yards if they want, and I don't really see it changing anything. I saw my friend Jaime Diaz come up with a stat the other day mm-hmm. where he said over the last 5 years, the incidence of three putts have actually decreased at the Masters.
Yes.
And that, of course, was always, three putt avoidance was always a big issue at the Masters. And, there could be a number of factors related to that. But I just think, guys, with the equipment, with the technology, with the training devices they have and everything else, they've just figured out so many of the problem areas of the green and of the game, and especially around the greens, and all the metrics they have and analytics, they know when to go and when not. They pay so much attention to it. And I don't think it's made Augusta National play any more difficult at all. I think the only thing that's going to make it play more difficult is what we might see tomorrow. And the players will all tell you they can handle the rain, they can handle the cold, but it's the wind that makes it really, really difficult. And especially there when you start climbing down the hill at 10 and you go through Amen Corner, really all the way over through 16, it really makes it difficult to handle.
And not only that, the way everything is played out to this point, the course is said to be firm and fast. When the greens are firm and fast, you mentioned the fewer three putts. Still, when the greens are firm and fast there, what does it mean?
Well, that I don't want to say that's the defense, because Augusta National has pretty good defense with its length. Is Augusta National suited to the British Open champ, Brian Harman? Well, probably not.
No.
Because, he's not a guy who's going to carry the ball a long way. And if it does, it's never going to get soft there because they have that sub-air system. So they're going to suck the moisture out if they get a ton of rain. And they're really only supposed to get the rain tomorrow. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. But that's what, Augusta National's greens, firm and fast and sloping that's what makes it tricky. And, all the guys will tell you You know, you can't just say at Augusta, well, keep it below the hole. You hear that a lot of places. Don't hit it above the hole.
Right.
Well, that's not always true at Augusta. At Augusta, it's you got to find the right quadrant of the green to hit it. And sometimes that's above the hole. That's what makes Augusta so difficult.
Yeah, I want to keep the ball below the hole at 9. Oh, wait a minute. It's still rolling back.
Right?
Let's keep
and that's
it below.
That's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
They have those little shelves and those quadrants that you – and the guys who have played there, you know, they know all that. And that's what makes – and that's why – look, you could sit there. I saw something the other day. They were asking the players, what's the most important aspect? What's the most important club that you want to have working to play Augusta? It was all split between iron game, driver, and putter because their point was, look, you, because of the length, you have to be able to drive it out there. And if you can't, you're going to have long irons into those sloping, tricky greens. And then it was like, okay, the iron game, the approach game, it's a second shot golf course because you have to be able to bring it in to the right spots on those greens. And then the other guys were saying, well, the putter, because you have to be able to putt those greens. But that's what makes Augusta, it is a great test, but it is a fair test. And that's why we've seen numbers shot there. We saw what Jordan Spieth shot. Jordan Spieth made 9 birdies last year in the final round. That's a Masters record.
Yeah.
I mean, birdies are out there. There's no question. But it can play difficult and tricky, and that's why some guys, they have a difficult time there. But it tests all aspects of your game, I think, very well and very fairly.
See, when they're split third, 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 driver, second shot, putter, that tells you that it's a great golf course.
That's exactly right.
All right. So in your realm of what, when you're looking at, give us like a couple, 3 names that you think we need to keep an eye on that should be at or near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday.
Well, I made my picks today, or I ranked my contenders, and then I made my pick. And, you know, you start with Scottie Scheffler, but, you know, Steve, that's like I said, it's like picking Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. You just don't do it, you know. Right. And to say that Scottie Scheffler isn't the favorite and, oh, no, he's not going to win, you can't say that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to win, but you have to start with him. There's no question about it because he's in such tremendous form. You know, 2 wins and a second already. And I said this last year, and I'm going to stick to it. If you want to, you know, when you talk about, don't take your eye off this guy, and that is Ludvig Åberg.
Yep.
You know, he came out as a rookie last year and made the European Ryder Cup team and won a PGA Tour event. This kid is going to win a major, and he's going to win. And I said last year he will win a major this year. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be here, but he's going to win one because he is supremely talented, and he's a guy that I wouldn't take my eye off of. You always got to like Brooks Koepka in a major. Won the PGA last year, finished second at the Masters last year. You know, he's let 2 green jackets slip away. He's going to be tough to beat. You know, you have to, you know, put John Rahm up there, but it's so hard to gauge the LIV Tour players and how they're playing because, you know, it's just it's a different animal with the events they're playing. Joaquin Niemann is very hot and, you know, over in the LIV Tour. And he's a world-class player. He's another guy I wouldn't take my eye off, but I think everybody, 90% of the golf world wants to see Rory McIlroy win and complete the Grand Slam, and I personally would like to see that as well. And, of course, as I mentioned, Jordan Spieth. No modern player has a record at the Masters like Jordan Spieth. He's led the Masters in 8 different rounds. No player, not even Tiger, has led the Masters that many times after a round. That's just how dominant he has been at Augusta. He could have 3 green jackets. He only has 1. But that stretch of 14, 15, and 2016 were very impressive, and he only came away with 1 green jacket. Like I said, he could have had 3. And he finished 3rd last year. So don't take your eye off that guy either.
Next time through, we'll talk about the draft, if you don't mind. And
it's coming up in a couple weeks, as we know.
I know. And I want to thank the dog for being as quick as it was.
Well, Steve, I'll look forward to our next chat, that's for sure.
Thank you, my friend. Always the best. You know, I think the world of you.
Absolutely, Steve, and I always enjoy being with you. Stay well. We'll talk soon.
Jerry Dulac. longest-running weekly radio golf show in the country, and, of course, with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and on the Steelers Network. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, fun show today. More fun coming up tomorrow. We do have the coaches show tonight. James Franklin, Mark Pavlik, 6:05 to 7. James, if you're wondering, will be on first tonight. He'll be out of the gate about 6:08 this evening. Looking forward to that. I got a quarterback club tomorrow where I have at Haluba Hall. I've got Andy Kultanicki, Tom Allen, four players, and James Franklin. Do I have enough questions?
I have confidence in you, Steve.
Let's open it up to the audience.
One plus of quarterback club, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So who would like to talk? Wait, I'm done.